Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mess with MS. This is Lisa Dreyer, and I'd like to welcome you to tonight's show on 4/8/2017. Tonight we have a great show with my guest Scott Collier. Like I was saying, my name is Lisa Dreyer, and I've been a host on the Brain Injury Radio Network and a guest on the Brain Injury Radio Network on many shows and on panel shows. And I've been a guest host. This has been a great pleasure for me to be on the Brain Injury Radio Network. I came to work for the Brain Injury Radio Network after I stopped working as an actress and after I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis myself. But I've always had many different problems with learning difficulties and autoimmune issues. And I had a seizure disorder for most of my life. And I didn't know that I always had a brain injury. I thought I just had learning disabilities. But later in life, I found out that, you know, what I always thought was a learning disability was actually a brain injury that I had suffered when I was a small child. So when I found out that I had MS, I wasn't shocked. It just seemed like it was something else on my plate. And from my first interview on this network, I always said that my outlook on life has been find the beautiful around you and stay calm. And that's where my movement that you can look up on Facebook is called MS Beautiful, and that's where it came from. And MS Beautiful is something for women only right now, but hopefully one day it will expand. And I believe that while it is important for us to acknowledge our MS, our brain injuries, or our TBIs, it is also important to remember to relax when we can, to have fun, and to try to learn new coping mechanisms, and to try to meet and communicate, and then make new important people in our lives. And MS is one of the most debilitating neurological diseases, and people need to learn how to live with it as best they can and learn how to be positive. And I think the same about brain injury and traumatic brain injury. And that's why it's my pleasure to have Scott Collier on the show tonight. Thank you, Scott, for being on with us. And I'm very pleased to introduce you to the audience of Mess with MS. So, hi, Scott.
Well, hello, Lisa, and I thank you very much for having me on the show, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you in the last 12 months, and glad that you're doing so much better after the scare that you just recently had, and it seems like you're doing well afterwards. So that was hard to see you going through, but I'm glad that you got back to going in the right direction.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that doesn't always happen. So you were very lucky, and we were making sure some prayers were sent your way. One thing that I'd like to mention is I had a friend that was helping me out very much on the work that I do, advocacy work, and unfortunately she slipped in the tub July or August, and then it wasn't much longer after that that she had passed away. So she had hit her head and suffered a brain injury, and she didn't make it back. So she was in and out of the hospital. It was very difficult. So these things happen very quickly, and they can take your life. She would tell me how she was so afraid of terrorist attacks. And I said, you need to be more concerned about traumatic brain injuries than you do these terrorist attacks. And, I didn't want to see either one of those happen to her, but she did suffer a brain injury, and it did cost her life. So she got a newer bathroom put in, and she was concerned about slipping in the tub, and she had some issues, and I was trying to get her to a different home that suited her needs better, but unfortunately that didn't happen, and she slipped in the tub, and that was it there, and then for her. And big loss. She was such a big help to me. And you know how that is, having people help you out. Just one person that's on your side can really make a big difference. Another friend, Maureen Kaiser from Tennessee, she just had lost her fiancé, Thomas. It was a long battle after he had fallen down the steps and suffered a brain injury. So I'm very sorry for Maureen's loss. So I think you had a couple questions for me, and
I just wanted to know when were you diagnosed with your traumatic brain injury?
It was two days after I had the accident. I had went to the doctors. I had the injury in the middle of the day on September 17th of 2007. And I finished the day of work. I don't remember driving home. I drove back to work the next day and don't remember driving back either. I do remember being at work, and I do remember what was happening there, but I remember that I was feeling very nauseous and I had to keep sitting down. I wasn't vomiting, but I felt very nauseous and couldn't do what I needed to. So I had actually you had to put in a form to have a day off, so I put that in thinking that if I gave myself a little bit of time, I would be okay, but that didn't happen, and then that following day, I went to the doctors. The day before that, I had went to the gas station after coming home and lying down for a short while, and then I went to get some gas to go, make sure I had enough fuel to go wherever I needed to, meaning work-wise, when I was ready, that I was feeling so bad, and I called the doctor and I said, I hit my head the other day at work and just not feeling right. And he asked me to come into his office, and the exit for the beltway was right in front of me. And I was 20 minutes away from his office. I said, I don't feel well enough to make it to your office. I said, I think I have a concussion, but I made it through a night of sleep last night. I'm going to go home and I'm going to lay down, which of course now I know I should have just parked the car. I should have called 911. I should have went right to the hospital, but this is in hindsight that I know this now. And I actually wrote a book about what had happened, and in the book I write that even if someone has an injury and they're telling you that they're okay, doesn't mean they really know what's going on. So you should take their keys, you shouldn't let them drive anywhere, and you should take them immediately for medical attention to be evaluated. So that is the proper way to do it, in case anyone's listening that is unaware of that.
Yeah. Well, I make sure. I mean, because I have always had a seizure disorder, that if I wake up and I'm on the floor, I'm usually calling the ambulance. I mean, because I don't care how much it's going to cost me or what. If I don't remember falling down, there is a big chance that it's important that I go to the hospital. So, yeah.
It's been a long journey for me. I've had a lot of problems, too, and just trying to work them out. I'm learning more all the time about what's going on, and I believe, as most people are that have brain injuries or issues like yourself, that you worry about what's going to happen tomorrow if you're still going to have your faculty. So it's a big concern of mine. I'm racing the clock right now to try to bring a undeniable awareness to traumatic brain injuries globally, and what I'm racing is the time clock on my life or the possibility that I might not know what's going on. So whatever comes first, and I hope that I don't have to go through that hole of not knowing what's going on and living between two worlds as I was for the longest while. And as I had mentioned, I'm still learning things, and I just recently read somebody else's story, and they had mentioned something about they weren't able to drive any longer because of blackout seizures, and I had no idea what that was. But prior to that, I knew that I was telling everybody something happened, and then I can't remember between this time and that time, and I have no idea what went on, what the length of time that usually was, not unless I was in the same spot. Like I might be one time I was in a car, and then one time I was at my local historical society, and I knew I was in the same place. But other times I would be one place, and then I'd be another place, and I wouldn't know. And I said, it was a very difficult situation to deal with and very confusing. When you don't know what's going on, it's not a problem because you don't know what's going on. But when you're coming back and you realize that you have been out of it for a while, that's when the problem
is. It can be incredibly scary.
Yes.
Very scary.
Anybody that, the one thing that I can tell people if they're concerned about if they totally lose it, I'm not scared of that at all, because when you totally lose it, you have no idea what's going on. So you don't recognize pain. You wouldn't recognize pain or anything like that. You might feel pain and be screaming, but somehow or another it's not going to be, at least it wouldn't have been with me, what I was feeling. It wouldn't have been registering with my brain that anything was happening to me anyway, because I wouldn't have known. So consciously I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. I just know that for me, when I don't know what's happened, yet I wake up on the floor and I'm in pain, something's wrong, you know, and that usually scares me very much. Like, as you know, the last time I had a seizure, and it was very clear. And I'm so glad I went to the hospital, because they actually put all the electrodes on me and figured out, you know, you really did have a seizure. It wasn't like blood pressure issue or anything like that, because I have so much that it could be, and it was, you know, really was some genuine seizure activity there. So what was the traumatic brain injury that you had?
Well, I was at work, as I was mentioning, and we'll give the rest of the story. I was driving the company truck over a piece of ground that I drove my own personal truck over on a daily basis. And when the day that the accident happened, I was driving the company truck and was going over an area where they had cut down a tree. I knew the tree was cut down. The tree stump was only about 3.5 to 4 inches off the ground. They cut it very low. But, you know, hindsight again, trees crown when they grow. Big trees do. They come up and they rise up a little bit. They bring the earth with it. And then when you're, I was driving and straddling the tree stump, and I didn't realize that the company truck had a snow plow harness apparatus on it that had an angle iron underneath of the truck that hung down lower than any truck would with the clearance. And when that caught the tree stump, it estimated 10 to 15 miles per hour. It stopped me dead in my tracks, and I wasn't wearing the seatbelt because the foreman had clicked it onto the seat area. So when he got in, he'd have to keep messing with the seatbelt because he was getting out of the truck, in and out of the truck all day long in a very secluded assisted living facility. So I understood why he did it and everything, but, you know, hindsight again is no matter what, wear that seatbelt, even though you're in and out of the truck all day, because what I've had to do is definitely not worth it. So I've had a lot of success. I feel very blessed. I know that people don't make it back to having the function that I do, capabilities that I do on a daily basis. So for the people that can't tell you that what's going on, I try to speak for them. I try to get them help. And one of my biggest passions is to bring an undeniable awareness to traumatic brain injury globally so that we can stop the global traumatic brain injury epidemic. I try to get people to realize they need to be wearing helmets while riding bikes or motorized scooters, and the all-terrain vehicles, they're so dangerous. I really want to see roll bars put on that. I'd like to see helmets worn in soccer. Right now there's something going on with girls lacrosse where the majority of them don't wear helmets, but they're starting to get ready to come in, but they say that they're like 5 years away. So I'm trying to speed that up in my home state and have a meeting with Governor Larry Hogan's office, and this will be the second year that I've had a meeting with his office for the past 2 years, which I'm very thankful for, because I've reached out to many elected officials prior to that, congressman, and even a lieutenant governor, and they also all said how important traumatic brain injury awareness is. But once the camera was off, because I do Dundalk TV YouTube station, and when the camera was off, they gave me absolutely no help. But thankfully, Governor Hogan and his administration are receptive to the information that I'm sharing with them.
That's great. Yeah, and I've seen the letters you write and some of the work you do, and it's really fantastic. I think that the more people who bring traumatic brain injury to light, the better. And thank you, really thank you for all the work you do.
You don't know how much that touches my heart. I greatly appreciate that, because every moment from the time I wake up until I pass out, not go to sleep, but pass out working, I'm on the computer and I pretty much pass out, there's very little quality time, fun time. My whole life is dedicated to bringing awareness to traumatic brain injury. At the same time, though, during my struggle, I said, while I'm trying to help myself, I'm going to try to help others. And it's nearly 10 years later, September will be 10 years, and I'm still fighting for my first day of cognitive therapy. I've never had any kind of formal cognitive therapy because workers' compensation has denied me that ability to do that, and that's a huge problem, and I've spoken to many people that are in the same boat that I am.
Why would they deny you cognitive therapy?
Because it is too daggone expensive. The same reason, while I was watching the League of Denial about the NFL, when they were saying, oh, it's a pre-existing condition, it's this, it's that, and they made every excuse under the sun. It was like watching the whole playbook of what was happening to me. They were just denying, they were saying it was this, they were saying it was that. They had doctors saying that I had no problem whatsoever, even though I couldn't remember past hello. That's if I wasn't in one of those I just said it before, blackout seizures. That's it. So that was as if I wasn't dealing with a blackout seizure. I don't drive anymore because I couldn't remember to check the traffic light. It was very difficult for me to just keep the car in the lane I was in, and I had no idea once I started driving where I was going. And that's another point that I would like to bring up. And some of the people that I deal with are wonderful people that I've made friends with in the brain injury community, and it's been globally, thankfully, to the Internet. And Annie Ricketts and I were just talking about how she was on her own, and she was going out to the car, and she had to figure out how to open the door up. She couldn't remember how to open the door up. Then she got into the vehicle, and she said, like, 2 hours later, figured out where to put the key to start the vehicle. But then she sat there, and she was just revving the engine, and she didn't know really what to do. And I don't know if it was that day or the following day. I think it was that day that she was in there, like 2 hours later or something like that. It was probably the next day. She went back out, and she was trying to figure out how to do this. She knew that she had done it before, and she was trying to figure it out. But they deal with manual sticks in the UK. And she said she had got it into reverse and or neutral, one of the two, and her vehicle had backed out of the driveway and went across the street and bumped the curb, and that's what stopped her. So, and then she said that for a couple of days she had done that, and then she was driving to town in first gear with the car just, like, jumping up and down, as you know, it does happen, and with a manual transmission because she wasn't shifting to second. Okay, what's your question?
Oh, I was just going to say, at that point, I mean, should she be driving?
Well, absolutely not, and that's my point. She did that for a while, and then she finally got to where she could switch to second gear, but then she came to a hill one day, and she didn't know how to, compensate for the hill with the clutch and everything. So she said people were coming up, are you okay? And she said, oh, I'm just having a little bit of problems with the vehicle and everything, not wanting to tell them. But here's the thing, for the book that I wrote in there that if you have somebody in your home that has this kind of an injury, hide the keys because someone in your home having a brain injury, they could think that they're going to work. They could think that they're going to the store. They could think anything that they needed to get into the car. They could think they wanted to go for a joyride. If they get in that car, they could run your kids over. They could run your neighbor's kids over. Or they could kill somebody in your community. And that's not to even say that they could even further injure themselves. So, I'm a proponent on that. And one thing that doesn't happen that I wish that people, that the doctors and insurance companies and everything would do is that once somebody suffers a traumatic brain injury, they would go to their house to see what their house looks like to make sure that if there's carpets there that, they know to maybe remove them or take something out of the way that could be a danger. And also to alert the family to the fact that the person may wake up in the middle of the night and try to make something and the house might catch on fire. Or if they had a wood shop at their house and they used power tools or they had some kind of hobby, they might even like guns
just
or something.
Just like all the dangers,
So actually the
there's
environment
so many
where the person's right, and don't do any of that. I was like, are you kidding me? How can you not go to the person's house and say, these are the dangers that they could do to the family, to the neighbors? I mean, I was petrified to death. My doctor had wound up saying that he wanted to put me into assisted living. But I was engaged at the time when I was injured, and unfortunately my fiance left 3 years to the day of me having an injury. And so I was on my own, and if I would have been put into assisted living, if I would have went in there for 6 months or a year, and they would have said, okay, well, you're good enough to go on your own now, you've graduated from us, and you go back to life, they would have showed me the front door, and I would have went out to the sidewalk, and that would have been my house, So I would have lost everything. So it was a gamble. It was a gamble. It was, and it was a horrifying gamble, and my life, my home was my battlefield. So that was the battlefield of dealing with traumatic injury and everything. And not, And you can imagine what life is like when you have no idea what's going on half the time. So.
Yeah, I know. Believe me.
Scott, I've got
Linda on the phone here, so I'm going to introduce you guys.
Okay.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
This
Hi,
is...
Scott.
Well, hello. How
and
are you, Linda?
We have,
pleasure to meet you.
We have someone else calling in. I think this is Belinda. I'm going to see. To the 606 number, you're on Mess with MS with Scott Collier and Linda and Lisa. 606?
Yes, Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're on Mess with MS.
It's Belinda. How are you?
Hi, Belinda.
How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
Thanks. I've had a lot going on, you know, between having my heart attack a month ago and then the week before that I had a mini stroke. And then just finding out that I have this TBI, it's just a lot.
Yeah. Now, do you feel comfortable telling Scott and everyone, I guess, about your TBI? And not, you don't have to go into extreme detail if, unless you want to, but
yep.
just asking your questions or whatever.
I just recently found out that I had TBI, and it's from a traumatic event when I was 2 years old before I got adopted. And it has messed with my left side of my face. It's paralyzed, and it's damaged my left eye. And I found out the other day I also have damage to the coronal brainstem nerves on my left side as well. And I'm mixing all that in. Go ahead, Lisa.
Did you find this out? Was it in an adoption record or?
It was actually a doctor. My doctor had found this out and, you know, went back through and realized that it's the brain injury.
Okay.
Because I guess all of the problems I have, like it messes with my senses, like my five senses on my left side, and my touch is off, as well as my sight and my smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know that my throat, the one side from that stroke that one time, is paralyzed. So
yeah,
it's just kind of like it's a mess.
Yeah.
Belinda, what causes?
Well, babe,
I'm sorry.
So am I. I was just telling Belinda, so am I, babe. That's why the show's called Mess with MS.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got that in a whole nother long line of stuff that I'm sure y'all might have too.
Yep. And you know what? Like I always say, none of this is for sissies.
Right.
You cannot.
And not.
Right?
None of it. I
have
had
any of these problems. Belinda,
well,
you said you were 2 years old, it said in your adoption records when this happened?
Yes.
And do you know what caused it, if you feel comfortable telling us?
I do. My biological parents hit me in the head with a 2x4 because I was being bad, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so therefore there was my mom and dad adopted me. My mom and dad, the people I called, you know, mom and dad. And
right.
On the 7th of this month, it actually make a year that she's been gone and my dad's been gone 2 years.
Mm.
So
That's not
it's
easy
all that when you mix it all in with MS and fibro and all everything else. But I just kind of wanted, you know, some insights on TBI, you know, because
that's why
it's not,
I told Belinda to call tonight.
It's not something I'm familiar with. Go ahead.
Well, I'd be more than glad to talk to you about that. It's just, you know, if you have questions about it, I'll do my best to answer those questions, and if not, I will recommend you to speak to somebody else that might be able to answer the questions for you.
Right.
I'm still learning myself. There's a lot of things, and just, you know, one thing about traumatic brain injury I can tell you is that once you think you have a handle on things, they change. So once
right.
you hit a leg up on it, there's a new wrinkle that appears that you have to deal with, and sometimes it ebbs and flows. So you could be doing well for an extended period of time, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with some of the issues that you were before, and then also some of the issues change, and you're dealing with other things. So, but
right.
I do a lot of prayer. Prayer is what has helped me make it through it all. People ask me, how are you making it on, you know, what you're getting from Social Security, which is only a little over $700 a
right.
month. And
right.
I'm taking care of all my bills and you know, living independently and everything. I said, I have no idea. God's looking out for me. So I pray
yeah.
every day, and that helps me out tremendously.
Most definitely. And my girls and I, every evening and when we sit down to eat, we all do prayer. And
how old are
yeah,
your girls?
I have my 17-year-old with me and my 11-year-old, and then I have a 16-year-old daughter who lives up in Ohio with her daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And she is actually listening up from up there.
Yeah.
And then
well,
I have
she's
a
937 number?
That it is the 937 number listening, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought so.
That is the 16-year-old.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not a big prayer person. I am, but I'm not. But I'm really into family, and I know I couldn't make it through this without my family, the support of my daughter. She's 24. She lives with me. And
yes.
if it wasn't for her and my sister, I don't know. And, you know, I have a lot of support from, you'd be surprised, just from people that I hardly even know at the gym. I'm
and
a fitness instructor. I'm a fitness instructor, and I work at a lot of gyms, and I have so much support from these people that I don't even know that have been members in my classes for so many years that have watched me go from walking straight and narrow to walking like a drunk, you know, with my MS. So that's where I get my support and my love and my prayer from, is the support of all these people. And I didn't realize there was that many people out there that could be so supportive, until I opened up and let it out that I have this problem. And now all these people are coming forth, and it's amazing. And it feels
yes.
so different, you know?
And I have to agree with you 100%, because especially when they had told me about this here recently, I thought,
mm-hmm.
here we go, just another diagnosis. This is not
right.
something I know about.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I know.
How old are you?
Do
you mind telling me how old you are?
I'm 35. I'll be 36 in May.
Oh.
Me too. Yay.
You guys are still babies. You're still babies. But
we're the same age as, well, we're the same age as your other baby. So.
That's true. Of my first baby, right.
And, you know, you said the help of your daughter. And I tell
yeah.
Lisa all the time, my oldest daughter here, Sierra, is 17. She graduated at 16
mm-hmm.
with college credits and high honors. And,
right. Oh, wow.
Of course, Hannah's here, too. She's 11. But
mm-hmm.
I tell everybody all the time, my oldest daughter is my right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
she's
without
awesome.
Her, I don't know where I'd be. She's your
You know what?
Mom.
Daughters are our rock. You know, sons
yes.
are sons, but daughters are the ones that we really, really count on for these situations where we just need that. You know, we need that girl on girl thing. You know, where it's
and
just,
I agree. And I've told
you know,
her, oh, she doesn't want to leave. She wants to stay here even when she turns 18. I told her that's fine because
that's fine.
Her and I are so close. You know, I don't need a caregiver. She,
right.
so to speak, you know. But I still have my good days where you know, let's go run and try to play, you know, with my kids. It just,
right. So you are exercising, Belinda, because that's my thing. That's my forte. That's exercising. And like I was saying, I don't know if you listened to the last show that I was on with Lisa, but her and I were talking, and that's my thing, because 30 years ago when I was diagnosed, my doctor had said, and many, many doctors back then said, do not exercise. Whatever you do, do not exercise. Take it easy and rest and sit and basically rot and let your nerves deteriorate and let your myelin disintegrate and be done with you. But that's the day that I joined the gym, and that's the day that I got into fitness. And now 30 years later, I've just started having problems walking a couple of years ago. Up until that point, I was fine.
And that's awesome.
But now my doctors are telling me 30 years later, Linda, you saved your life by doing all that exercise. You saved your life. So my thing is to support people in exercise and exercise programs, not just people with disabilities, but seniors that are sitting around doing nothing and just waiting, you know, for their time to be up. It's really important to keep those muscles strong so we don't atrophy. You know, we've already got so many things going on in our body that even if it's an aqua fitness class or walking around the mall, anything, you've got to keep moving. And it sounds like you do, right?
I'm trying. Like I said, I had my heart attack a month ago, and I definitely didn't lay on bed rest for as long as I was supposed to. But
and that's why I was so amazed you had your heart attack, because you're such a skinny mini, and you know, like,
fantastic. You sound fantastic.
Well,
was it a severe heart attack? Was it a severe one?
It was. They said it was a massive heart attack. I was actually in the shower, and keep in mind, the week before is when I had my mini stroke, but I was actually in the shower, and I was rinsing my hair, fitting to get out, and my daughter heard me fall, and she came running in, and obviously the squad got called, and to make a long story short, they scanned me, nothing was wrong with my head, no concussion, and was fixing to let me go. And I guess my heart started doing something funky on the monitor, and I started, like, crashing. And they bagged me and got me to another hospital that, you know, could do more.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to have a heart cast, and they said right then and there, when I woke up in ICU, my daughter was sitting there, and she said, Mom, she said, do you know the reason you had your heart attack? And she said a piece of plaque had broken, you know, off and caused me to fall and bump my head and have the heart attack.
Wow.
Because I
also now, do you think the stroke, was the stroke related to your pre-existing brain injury?
I can't answer 100%. I've never figured out.
You're very young for this. Is it genetic?
It is. A lot of it is. Because even with this recent heart attack, I had congestive heart failure. There was 75% of fluid on my lungs and my heart. And I got down to where it was 15% before I left. And now I have the life vest on, which I don't know if anybody is familiar with it, but it's a wearable defibrillator, basically, and you can carry it like a purse. And I got to keep that on until I go back to the doctor. And then they will see if the one side of my heart that was pumping at only 25% versus 75%, they will then check and see.
And then would you be a candidate maybe for a, what do you call it, a
pacemaker?
What's that? Yeah.
Yes. That is why they have me wearing the defibrillator.
Uh-huh.
Because if my heart, because I didn't feel nothing. Like I had told Lisa through some messages, I was in the shower. I didn't even feel like you would feel if a heart attack was coming on. So,
well, sweetie, haven't you heard, I hear that all the time from, like, cardiologists and stuff, especially with women. It's the silent killer because the symptoms are so different for us. For women especially, we don't get those symptoms like men do, and that's why it's the silent killer. And so many women have heart attacks, from what I'm learning, and we have no symptoms. And that's
right.
The deal. And that's what's so scary for us.
And that is scary because I now all the time I worry and I wonder because I have this, and it will zap me if, like, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about this is if – plus I'm on oxygen now 24 hours a day. But the good thing about the Life Vest is if my heart function can get up to 35% on the one side or higher, I won't need to have the pacemaker put in permanently. I just will continue my heart medicine.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what you're going to do then. That's what's going to happen.
And it's definitely opened my eyes because they've got me on a low-sodium diet, and that's really
mm-hmm.
hard. I didn't realize how much sodium is in.
Everything. Everything. It's so amazing, isn't it? I mean,
even
that's a really hard
bread.
Diet to follow.
I see
it's
the kind of food
diet.
You post. I know what kind of diet you eat, girl. You eat some yummy food, but, yeah, no, it's got a lot of sodium.
I told my doctor, I said, like, I am the one that cooks cornbread, greens, fried chicken.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, you're in the South, aren't you?
No, I lived in the South for 12 years plus, but right now we live in Kentucky, but me and my kids are all from Ohio. But
oh
it's
boy.
The Louisiana accent that
California.
You're hearing.
You need to move out to California where we just starve ourselves and basically live on water and air.
No, I like to eat.
Where are you, Scott?
I'm in California.
You're in Maryland, right?
I am. I love to eat crabs during the summertime. We love our crabs and crabfish and corn and tomatoes.
See? And in Louisiana, the big thing was the you'd have the fish fries and the crawfish, and I love it.
Wow. I've never had that in my life.
But
I've never had
I can
that.
Also
go pretty big on the fish, too. Yeah,
I can also go meatless because I like my salads. And before I ever got pregnant with any of my kids, I was a vegetarian.
Oh.
So.
Well, you may be going that route again.
I know.
But
you
know
that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It's amazing what you
Your
11-year-old
might not like it.
I know. Hannah tells me. She said, Mommy, she said, I just want some french fries. And I'm like, oh, gosh, don't say that. And I'm just as guilty because I love french fries.
Who doesn't?
Don't we all?
Especially
right,
when you dip them in a chocolate shake. I mean, that's the best. You know, I think you're going to be fine. I think you're going to be fine. You sound healthy. You sound great. You sound determined. And I think you're going to be great. And you've got us to support you. I mean, you can call us anytime, right, Lisa? She can call any of us anytime and talk.
And
I mean,
and
you can have
Scott
my number. You can have my personal number. We can't give you my number over the radio, but Lisa can get it to you, and you can call anytime you want and talk because that would be fine with me.
Okay.
We all
Linda's
need to
like
we
the
all
nicest
need to
person. Yeah. Linda's like
we
the nicest
all need,
person.
We all need to vent. We have to vent. That's what we do. That's our therapy. I don't believe in going to therapists or psychologists. Not that I'm saying they're bad. I rather vent to people I care about
and
talk
people that
to
know
them.
You.
And, right. Because psychologists and therapists don't really know you. So how can they really help you if they don't know who you are? But, you know, and they don't feel what we have. They don't have what we have. So how can they sympathize with us or feel what we're feeling? They cannot relate to us.
They cannot because I always tell my kids, or if when they tried to put, you know, them in the therapy or me in the therapy, I said, look, you have to look at it from my point of view. And at the end of every day, y'all only see us for an hour of the day. You don't deal with the rest of the
day
or what talked
That's
about
right.
might trigger a flashback.
Yeah.
That's then
right.
And
they
we deal with.
You, they always only tell you what you want to hear, and it's always your mother's fault. So
right.
It's always our mother's fault, whatever we've done wrong. So the best support system and the best therapy to me is to talk to each other. And that's
yes.
it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel. And to be honest and open, and we help each other because we can relate. We know. Who else knows what we're going through better than us? Not a therapist that doesn't have any of these illnesses or disabilities that any of us are going through. So
right.
that's how I feel.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and I know they try to, you know, some of them try to be or I might act like they're sympathetic, but like,
mm-hmm.
I always got frustrated when somebody would say, I know how you feel. Like, no, you
that.
Don't get it.
I hate that. Because you know what, I'll tell you what, tonight, is a therapist going to stay up at night and think about you? Tonight, when I go to bed, I'm going to think about you. I'm going to think about you when I get up to go to the restroom. I'm going to think about this conversation. I'm going to feel for you because we connected. But a therapist is not going to get up in the middle of the night to use the restroom and think about you.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
It's not. And if
no.
everybody could just...
Poor Scott. Scott, we're so sorry. You've got this big mouth.
No. I wanted you to talk because I was able to talk at the beginning, and I you know, just... But I think that there are some doctors
no,
out there.
And you know what? Scott is the kind of person who will be thinking about everyone here. Like, he
right.
is the sweetest man, and he
mm-hmm.
his organization, the Global Brain Injury Association, he cares about so many people through his Facebook page. You guys really should
That's
go
what
on
I'm
there.
Hearing.
And he encourages everyone to share their stories, whether they have brain injuries or whether they, you know, have any types of autoimmune issues, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he wrote the most amazing letter to the Pope. He's a really great individual.
Yeah, Scott, I've been hearing nothing but great things from Lisa all week about you. So I'm very impressed with what you're doing. I think it's amazing.
Well, I try, and I, you know, people ask me, how are you doing? And I just tell them I'm doing the best I can every day.
You
so,
just do what you have
know,
to do,
and
right?
I am. Well, you know, I have a passion to help other people, and before I was injured, I liked to help people, and now and as we help people, we all know some people try to take advantage of us, and I've had that happen, but I grant my my what I try to do for other people by 10,000%. So even
mm-hmm.
though some people have tried to take advantage and everything, I don't let them bother me at all. I know that I'm helping people, and I know that I'm making a difference. And, you know, if some kid out there doesn't ever have to go through what I went through, then, you know, thank God for that. So, and I'm not so much into the spiritual stuff altogether. I'm a Catholic and everything, but I don't go out there preaching. I just know that power
mm-hmm.
of prayer helps out a lot. And these ladies sound like these are doing very well, but there's a whole other group out there. And in my letter to the Pope, I told him how I became suicidal and how, you know, I just wanted it to all end and all that. So if there's anybody out there that's listening, you know, you can turn the corner. You don't want to give up and reach out for help, and you know, call a hotline if you need to, and reach out to the Global Brain Injury Association if you need to. I do my best to listen to everybody that I possibly can if they need some kind of help. So I find
right
that
on.
To be very important.
Because you know
now,
what,
I have
what
a
you
friend,
just said.
I have a friend that just to touch on with the. With your one friend was talking about with the heart attack and everything, it does seem like you're doing very well. Just keep doing the right thing. Switching the diet could be a great thing, not only for you, but for your kids too. They might enjoy it after a while, especially if you make the cooking fun and everything. That could be great.
Yes.
And my friend, his wife, I just saw him the other day. He told me I didn't realize that passed away from a heart attack about a month ago. So what a shock that was to hear that she had passed away right about 54. So.
Mm.
And
so
I tried cooking.
Me.
The cooking part will be different. And as I said, my 16-year-old that is actually listening from the 937 number, she is a vegetarian. And
what's
so,
her name? What's
Alyssa.
Her name?
Alyssa.
I'm happy you're listening. We're happy you're listening.
Hello,
yeah, sounds great. Keep up that support.
And I love your mom, by the way.
Oh, I love you, Lisa.
Beautiful.
But
you know how I
think,
feel.
Yes. And I think, you know, my one question is, could this be why I have seizures now? Rather, you know, like I didn't have them before growing up.
I think it sounds like that's very possible. You know, you don't really know if you, you know, you say that you didn't hit, they say that you didn't hit your head, but that doesn't really mean that you didn't, because actually after I smacked my head really hard, it took me 2 years to figure out that, well, yeah, I did actually, more than likely I was unconscious for a little while, because when I was in the vehicle that I was in, I actually had sat up straight and started shaking my head. Well, why do you shake your head? You're trying to wake yourself up. So it took me two
right.
years to figure that out. So even though, and I finished the day at work and I remember everything that happened there, but if you were looking to the beginning of the show, I don't remember driving home. So it was like 4 hours later.
Yeah.
So these things can take time. They can take, they can take you know, a few minutes. They can take an hour. They can even take a couple of days and a week before they really start showing up. In my
the head I saw in the shower with my heart attack, I was kind of referring to because of the incident from when I was two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Well,
could it show up that long
question.
Later,
I would like to just say the one thing about that is you said that something about you were, they hit you because you were being bad. They hit you because they were being bad.
I was hit by four, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's heartbreaking that any woman would do that to a child. There's nothing that a child could do that you would do that. So that was, you know, totally unjustified. So thank goodness that you had people that raised you, that loved you, and took care of you. So I'm very happy for
they
that.
Did.
But
they
I,
were
I
good.
Belinda,
I,
Belinda, were you asking if the seizures could be related to that injury and it's
yes,
showing up now?
TBI.
And
yes,
I was
ma'am.
Just about to say, Even the most qualified doctor out there, I believe that would be a guess, because as you were all talking before, there are some doctors out there that do nail it and do know what they're talking about, but the majority
right.
of them, you know, someone had told me a long time ago that the reason they call a doctor's business his practice is because they're practicing until he gets to know the stuff, and the majority of them, if they haven't gone through it like you have just said, don't know what's
right.
going on because they've never been there. They're only guessing, and most of the time their reports, I've read their reports on me, it was fiction. They didn't know what they were talking about, but they were pretty decent fiction writers. So,
like I said, all this is just, like, I've got it all scrambled in my mind, you know, on top of the MS, and I don't know how many of y'all, or if you guys take medicine, but in the morning I take 32 pills, in the evening I take 3, and at bedtime I take approximately 10.
Girl, I think you
what
take
is it
too
you're
much.
Taking? What are you taking?
Oh, gosh.
The list will
sounds
be shorter,
like
which she's not taking.
Right.
Exactly.
I
that's
take
a lot.
Stuff for my heart. I take stuff for...
Yeah, like I'm on 5
heart
pills.
I take probably everything you take. I take my seizure medication. I take my heart
yep.
medication. I take 5 different heart pills.
Since my heart attack, the way they explained it to me is one does something that the other doesn't. Does that make any sense at all? Because one helps with the cholesterol.
Oh, okay, maybe maybe that makes sense. Because I was going to get the same kind of rigmarole that you're doing with your whole heart. Why can't I think of what it's called? always want to call it a, like, face box in my heart.
Derek can explain it better than I can if you want her to.
Huh?
Sierra's right here. She can explain the five heart meditations to you. Here, tell them.
They're like the ones, she's on like a suppressor, and then she's on simvastatin, it's called, and metoprolol-tartrate. I don't know. And then Lansoprol, and then she's on potassium.
Baby aspirin,
Inderol.
How are her liver and kidneys doing on all this medication?
I had her test it all, and they said it's doing good. Because I told them, I said, that's tough on your kidneys and the lining of your stomach and everything.
But it keeps me alive.
But these meds
are not
permanent. They're still kind of seeing what's going on with you. So they may adjust or take away some of these things as soon as they get you a little bit more stable and figure out what's going on.
And they have it.
I'm like a mother hen. I'm like, your liver and your kidneys, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
I'm like,
I'm
not worried about you.
Too much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't panic too much. I would wait for the doctors to get you, you know, it's just new still. So they're just kind of messing with your medication right now because it's new. So I wouldn't panic too much yet.
Well, and they've taken me off several that would interfere with my heart. Because they want my heart rate to be right around 88, 90. Because they don't want
so
it
it's low.
As fast as...
So yours is
right.
Mine, like mine. I'm too low, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So the pills aren't all just for the heart. They, you know, are like fibro, osteoporosis, seizures.
Yeah.
You name it.
I'm not taking anything for my fibro anymore.
Really?
I don't have osteoarthritis yet, but my mom, it runs in my family, so.
Rock.
We're
trying. See, for my fibro, I take Lyrica.
Yeah.
Mm.
I stopped taking it. It's, no.
And I just went off all my MS medications, too. They weren't helping, and they were just making me feel sick anyway. So,
see, my shots make me feel sick.
Which
I take interferon reprotection.
Yeah. Well,
and the healthy diet might help out with all that too. Healthy diet might. And time.
Yeah,
I got off all the medications. They were trying to give me everything under the sun, and you know, I know that my doctor was trying. And he was a good doctor, and you know he realized that I had concussion syndrome and everything, but he didn't understand traumatic brain injury. Unfortunately, he sent me to somebody he thought was qualified, but the person had the credentials, but they didn't realize what was going on. They wanted to talk post traumatic stress, and it's like, no, I hit my head and my life changed. You know, it's not from stress. So.
Right. Yeah. And
so
I
medications
am...
can be really bad.
Yes. And that's why I was getting ready to say I am thankful that I have found a good doctor who knows about, you know, everything going on with me.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, I'm
a good doctor.
I'm
a good doctor can
too.
Save your life.
Yep. And common sense on our part.
Yes, yes. Because, like I told the doctor, we know our bodies the best.
That's right.
Yeah.
You need to be your own doctor.
Well, I like that.
Yes.
I like how you discounted what the doctor said and you went out and you got into the exercise program, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, and unfortunately, the medical field, they will tell you, they've been telling you something for 20 years, and then all of a sudden they reverse that, and then they go with that for a while, and then they come up with something different. So
exactly.
It's a whole lot of guesswork.
Exactly.
The one thing that I can say that they do very well with, I think that they do well with the heart. They do a great job with that. On many instances, maybe not all the time, but many instances. I mean, what they can do with the stents and all that is really amazing. Triple bypasses and all that, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
brain surgery. They do some amazing things with brain surgery. But knowing all the details of how everything's working and how one person is and everything, it's just, unfortunately, I don't feel that our doctors are educated enough. I don't have very much faith in doctors, the majority of doctors. Anyway, I don't trust them.
Lisa knows that I'm on a GoFundMe right now, and I'm trying to raise money to get a stem cell procedure done for my MS. I want to try it. I've heard some good things about it, but I can't get any of the doctors here to support it. None of the doctors here know about it. They don't want to talk about it. I don't know if it's because they're scared to talk about it, or I don't know what the deal is. But, you know, if you read up on it, I think so, too, because of the lawsuits. But there's a lot of good stuff going on with stem cells.
And where do you live, Linda?
I'm in California.
California.
Yeah. So I'm trying to raise money on GoFundMe so that I can get this procedure done. And I'm confident it's going to help me. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be able to, share my success with everybody, because I think there's something to it. And, I mean, it's not 100% guaranteed, but what else do we have? We don't have a lot of choices. And it's not just for MS with the stem cells. It's for every kind of every type of disability, even as far as the brain injuries go. They're using it for everything now. So that's what my goal is right now, to raise that money and go get this procedure done. And, hope that it works and that I think it will.
Yes.
I think that the more belief you put in something, that when you go forward with it, it can work.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, remind them to get those donations in for me.
Absolutely. And if you have a page that we can share.
I do. It's you can go to GoFundMe. You can find me under my name, Linda Sarnataro. And if you can't get it, you can contact Lisa, because you can find me on Facebook under my same name.
Right.
You spell my last name, S like Sam, A-R-N-A-T-A-R-O.
T-A-R-O?
T like Tom, A-R-O.
Okay, got it.
And you can find me on Facebook.
LindaSarnataro. And Belinda has a GoFundMe. It's BELINDA. And what last name did we go by for your GoFundMe, Belinda?
It was Oilerthan.
I'm just waiting for my
O-I-L-E-R.
It'll end real soon.
So you already have done it?
Belinda.
You've already done the GoFundMe?
4 minutes.
And how
I think
it?
I don't know if it's closed. I think you can still donate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's listening and you want to donate to Belinda's GoFundMe, it's under Belinda Oiler. O-I-L-E-R.
Because, I have just got...
But
the biggest thing I had been waiting for to happen, and that was to get my divorce, and that was final and done and closed on the
27th. Oh, so we should say congratulations, huh?
Yes, ma'am, because you just had to know my ex-husband.
That's
he was your typical, you have MS, and, we're going to keep you sedated, and you can't remember
totally
anything.
Can.
You're crazy, and
Oh, wow.
That's not
very man, he was mentally and verbally and emotionally abusive.
Well, I had a husband that was very mentally and physically abusive, and I think he's also the cause of sending me on my way to MS as well.
This
is a good chance for me to say that I know that the number one cause of traumatic brain injury is actually from domestic abuse. A lot of people think it's from sports injuries, but it's actually from domestic abuse. Am I right on this, Scott?
Well, No, the number one cause is falls.
Falls. Oh,
okay.
Falling down.
After that,
well, I do that all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Among seniors, that seniors is the number one of the big deaths among seniors is falling and getting brain injuries or that is
well,
the problem.
Kids falling off of bicycles really brings that number up really high. People fall off the ladder. People think that I can reach that light bulb or something up on that shelf
with the
stool over here. And they're standing up on their tippy toes, and then the next thing you know, they fall off. And people do that 40 feet in the air, too, sometimes.
Domestic violence is a big problem with that.
And see, go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, domestic violence has more injuries, I think, than sports injuries do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure sent me to the hospital quite often, more than I think I went to the hospital more often with the domestic abuse than I do now with my MS and falling down constantly. So, yeah,
right.
For sure.
Well, and I'm sorry it sounds like yours was physical. It came to a point to where I would have rather been slapped than the verbal and mental and emotional abuse because that stays with you. Does that make sense?
Oh, that hurts forever. That hurts. Those words hurt forever. I mean, my body healed, but the things that were said to me, I will never forget. You never forget that.
Yes.
No.
I mean, yeah.
No. It's like being bullied in school.
Especially when it's from someone who you love so much.
That you love and trust. Yeah. You never forget that. The things that I remember school being teased about some things here and there and those words, I will never forget that. You know, I'm Italian, and I have this Italian-looking nose, you know, and I always got teased in school by this one boy that I loved. He was like my crush all through school, and he always made fun of my nose. And those words till this day, I mean, I'm talking about grade school, you know, junior high, and here I am 59. I will never forget those words, and because of it, I got my first nose job, which was screwed up, and my nose has never been the same since. So I will never forget that. I mean, my bones, my body has healed from